meeting.
Planning Board meeting, 3/21/22, 7:01 PM.
Very good minutes of the previous meeting, July 19, 2021.
Jerry Bouchard is up.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, sorry I'm late.
Just as a forewarning, Jerry, this is the last meeting we're going to have Zoom, so...
Okay, thank you.
Technology's going away.
Jim, is Zoom really that expensive that you can't continue to use it?
Oh, I was told that we're... I don't know. That's a question for the board. Yeah, that's a question for the board.
Yeah, so I know... Because they would like numbers and...
The minutes of the meeting of...
Yeah.
July.
July. 2021. Any addition, deletion, or correction?
Okay, I read through like maybe two-thirds of it. You're basically, I could kind of write it down word for word. And there are typos and such, but otherwise I don't have anything substantive that comes up.
The only thing that I find confusing, and I agree there's some typos, big deal, we can go to that. But on the last page, what did we move, what motion did we vote on? The very last thing. First off, there's Chairman Bouchard. All right.
Well, there's a motion to adjourn by Mr. Shader.
Yeah, but that motion comes after the vote.
Oh, I have a vote right here, so you must have another vote.
The motion's down there. I'm confused.
I can go back and take a look at that.
I think it is just to adjourn the meeting.
Yes.
But I think so.
I just don't want to miss anything. Okay, now that we have everybody totally confused, but we have a motion for those minutes.
Make motion to accept the minutes as amended.
Motion been made. Is there a second? Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstentions.
Me. I wasn't here.
One. Motion carries. Moving steadily along.
You know, another thing I might ask. We're getting minutes from a long time ago. I'm wondering if it would make more sense to be starting with the more recent meetings and working backwards.
Well, what they're trying to do, we're supposed to have these done within a certain number of days of the meeting. And because of the change in personnel, it fell through the cracks. And now they're trying to catch up. And hopefully this will be close to the last time we have to do this.
That's exactly the case.
So now we're going to start with December minutes?
More current ones.
No, we already did December.
Yeah, so
he came. I think we've done January too.
Well, yeah, we did the special meeting with Bouchard.
Yeah.
Right after that, I think that's where I am, the meeting after that.
Okay, so we're caught up.
Yeah, this is a unique period in time because there was a period of time when we didn't have any coverage at all, if you remember. Trish left. And then Barb came on for a period of months, and then she left, and then we had another little gap, and then Katrina came.
Okay. This should be the off catch up.
Oh, that's great.
Most of what happens will be months away, like they're going to do one right now.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
For everyone from the board, take a moment to review the minutes of the special meeting of March 7th. Special meeting March 7th, are there any additions, deletions, or corrections? I have to back up. I got 2 months ahead of myself. January 12, 2022. Forget March. January 12, 2022. additions, deletions, corrections. If not, I have some sort of motion.
I make a motion to accept the minutes of January 12th.
Motion's been made to accept the minutes as written, as typed for the special meeting of January 12th, 2022. To the motion, do we have a second?
I'll second that one.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? One. Myself. Motion carries. Okay. First item I have on the agenda for this evening is Ty Hall. Do we have one of those?
Yes.
Good. Tell us the story.
Excellent. Good evening, members of the board. Justin Rossi, attorney with Jones Steves, here on behalf of Ty Hall. As the board may recall, we were before you about November 2021, and we're before you another application, and that is a PUD amendment for Ty Hall's Jack Hall Plumbing Heating, where he's looking to construct a commercial facility there. During the discussion with this board, I believe it was raised that the zoning district, C3, goes approximately 250 feet from Route 9, and that wasn't the actual rear of the parcels that would be included in PUD. And the rear of those parcels, a very small sliver of those parcels, would be in the residential district. The residential district doesn't allow PUD. So after consulting with the gym and the town council on this, on how we can rectify that, we came up with, as this board suggested, a map amendment moving the C3 district simply to match up with the rear lot lines of those parcels that are in the PUD. So fairly straightforward. The only real purpose for this is so that we can continue with the PUD application as it is proposed. What we're asking of this board is simply, we went after this, after November, we submitted the application to the town board for the map amendment. They've now referred it to you again for a recommendation, just as they have with the PUD. We thought it made the most sense to have you schedule, which is what we're asking for today, the public hearing for both the PUD and the zoning amendment, so they can go concurrently.
I have a little difficulty with that. Just technical, not with respect to the project. But you're asking us to review something to where it cannot go. Right this moment, you cannot have a PUD in that area. But you're asking us to review one because you might have the ability to do it later.
Correct.
And talking to the council this afternoon, she said, don't do it.
Okay.
So, that's my turn.
I agree. I think this has to be a linear process.
Yes. You have to have one. The PUD, go to the town board for a PUD. Town board refers it back here, you come back and see us again. For the PUD.
Because I think what I was trying to get at my staff calls was is you have really entirely different matters here.
Mm-hmm.
The rezoning request is one thing.
Yes.
And then the PUD, which in this case is somewhat project related, is another. So that's why I'll have two sets of staff calls. One relates to the rezoning request, and then should we have the PUD consideration, that'll happen at that time. And from my point of view on the PUD rezoning request itself, and the other thing I tried to emphasize in my notes is that split zoning is problematic. I think given the configuration here, the location along the route, the references in the comp plan, I try to provide those excerpts for you to shorten your research and reading. It just strikes me as the C3 extension, irregardless of the PUD, and I think that should be set aside. From my point of view, as zoning administrator, it's a much preferred situation, and given the physical attributes of the area, it appears that because you could consider extending the R1 forward. That's the other way this could go. And I just don't think that makes a whole lot of sense, given the attributes of Route 9 or the not maybe attributes, but constraints and some of the adverse things that come from an arterial highway. It doesn't make sense to have that fronting in a residential uses.
And there's one other thing that I would like to interject. We are not formal here. You do not have to stand and have a seat if you so desire. We're not formal.
Sure.
And if I could just add one more thing for clarification. You mentioned in your introduction, you used the term of PUD amendment.
PUD legislative amendment, yes. Yeah.
They're both, in fact, rezonings. Right. But these need to stand on, individual reviews and their individual merits.
Right. Well, that's where I was going with it, is that's separate from the zoning amendment.
So,
maybe the purpose for the zoning request.
Yeah. Correct. And so, if I'm understanding correctly, it sounds as though this board is comfortable moving forward with the current zoning map amendment, as that is an independent request that will then permit us to continue with the PUD application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That zoning amendment is on the agenda for this evening.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just the zoning amendment.
Yes.
Now, have you taken adequate safeguards for the neighboring properties, particularly those residential, that are going to be impacted by this zoning boundary line adjustment?
Yeah, frankly, I guess... My guess is that everyone assumes the zone goes to the parcel rear anyway. In fact, even on the streetscape we're talking, this is between Merritt and Jacoby, one of the parcels, it does do that, right? It's really kind of that arbitrary line. You still will have those bufferings, so you'll still have a certain buffer from the residential zone that is required in the commercial zone. So, yes. In addition, I should also mention most of the parcels in the rear are owned by Ty Hall as well. We initially had them as part of the PUD, removed them because they are wholly zoned residential. Rather than change the zoning, we figured we didn't need that land necessarily, so we left it out. So we own it as well. That certainly, I wouldn't ask the board to consider that forever and that they can be sold, obviously, but in this particular instance, that's the case.
Okay.
So if we were to say no to the zoning amendment, then you could still move ahead with the PUD by just relocating that lot line in the back and adding land to the residential lots in the back.
Yeah, correct. You could certainly merge, like a lot line adjustment, merge them with that. Really, you could almost actually remap, I think, even just the front. It makes it awkward in that we would have a parcel that is zoned, again, split zoning, two different zones, but we could really just move even the PUD lines to match up exactly with the commercial. We don't think that makes sense, again, because we own the whole parcel.
So then that leads to my question, just to be clear on this. So there are no residences that are currently not owned by the applicant that are... If any of those residential lots are developed, the people that develop them will already be aware that it's commercial on their back boundary. Okay, that's about as clear as I can put it. Yes? All except for one, I think. There's one on Jacoby Road.
Then there's one on Merritt.
Yeah.
Actually, two on Merritt. That would be impacted.
How are the two on Merritt? Oh, back lots.
They front on Merritt, but their back property lines front on the sidelines of the, or they touch on the sidelines of some of the parcels that are.
So, Jim, you're saying those two little block lines that are behind the Merritt properties are owned by those people that are on Merritt Road? They must have purchased more backyard and kept it separate deed, or? Right here.
No, this is a better picture of it. Here's Merritt. This lot is up for rezoning request.
Okay.
And their rear lot lines here are touching on what then now will be commercial zoning.
The map I have here.
Yep.
Shows these two here, and I don't even know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the line does extend far enough that it captures.
It looks like
this
is actually into here.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So I see your point. Yep. Okay.
There are two on Merritt Road that are affected, and one on Jacoby.
One on Merritt.
Correct. I believe there's one on Merritt and one on Dugan.
The one on Merritt already has a commercial zone in its backyard.
Correct.
The second lot on Merritt, or the third lot, the second one that all was on.
Because what they did is they put the C3 dimension was 250 feet from the right of way. So that captures the first two lots on the corner of Merritt Road.
So we're asking for no change to that first corner lot on Merritt and Route 9. That one was zoned properly. There's no concerns on that.
Yep.
So it's the four in between, the four middle ones.
Correct.
Yeah, the rezoning request only really affects the four center lots on fronting on Route 9.
With Jacoby Road South.
Yep.
And not Merritt Road.
Correct.
So, Don, you were raising the possibility of moving the R1 lot line towards Saratoga Road rather than moving the C3 line.
That works with it all except for the Jacoby Road corner lot. You could do that. I wasn't suggesting it be done. I was saying it was not permanent. So, when you're looking at a zoning change, especially when you're talking about commercial towards residential, okay, there's always the need for why do we have to do this,
mm-hmm.
not why can't we do this. It's why do we have to. And technically, that is an argument that you don't have to do this since he owns that already. It isn't like there's already houses there and he'd be gifting land to the neighbor's houses. He already owns it. It could be added to those residential lots in the backside. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm okay with expanding our our commercial zone in that area. And it works the other way, too, as far as I'm concerned, because by expanding it right now, you don't have residences that are like, surprise, you now have commercial in the background.
Right.
What I brought to the table tonight, Jim, is I wondered if we could okay this zoning, but do it with a restriction that section in the back could not be commercially developed. It could be used as a setback for a commercial, but you can't put a building on it or parking lot or
a buffer.
Yeah.
Right. It's required anyhow in the zoning law, but I think it should be emphasized.
But I guess I'm okay with using that as the buffer instead of having the buffer off of the closer line, okay? So you're still going to have that buffer for the residential lots.
Correct. Yeah, and I guess I appreciate that for the record as well. Jim, I believe the number is 50 feet. I believe we have a mandatory commercial rear setback of 50 feet from the residential. So
the width of this addition is?
I'm not positive only because we obviously, we have to put out a survey showing 255 feet off the line. I can estimate where maybe.
I can get the tax map and see what that
is. Maybe around 50 feet would be my guess is what we're adding. So it's essentially pretty close to the buffer. Yeah.
So then on top of that, you have the fact that these lots, other than Mr. Hall's house, these lots have not been developed.
Correct.
So if they are developed, whoever buys that lot or buys that house will already have had that adjustment made.
Right, so it will be known, correct.
Okay. Or any further questions?
On the other thing, I should emphasize this is not a decision you're making, it's a recommendation.
Of course, yeah.
And then you supposed to have the pleasure of going back to the town board and go through a public hearing for that zoning change.
Right.
Now, and then come back to us.
The other thing I want to put on the record is we did have a gentleman call today.
Ken Chester,
who. I did not take the call. Katrina did. It appeared that he has certainly some comments to make, and he was concerned about no public hearing yet. And Katrina tried to explain to him that we're not there yet, but nonetheless, he wanted to make sure that he has opportunity to be heard on this.
On the zoning change or on the proposed project that's soliciting that?
The zoning change.
Okay. All right.
Now, he may be confusing the two, I'm not sure, but he's aware this is going on and he wants to be heard about it.
But because this is a zoning change and not an amendment or a variance, this doesn't go in front of the zoning board, this goes in front of the town board because they're changing the zoning.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Correct. It's a legislative action.
Okay. Cool.
And they were going to hold a public hearing.
Yeah, and I guess the practical nature of it is he's got COVID, so he's quarantining.
So the town board is the big board that has a public hearing?
Yes.
You have the option. They're mandated to have one. You have the option of holding one if you want. That's up to you.
Well, and I think it's important to note for the record that if the board were to make the recommendation for this zoning change, it doesn't necessarily mean that the board is supportive of the application that is driving it.
That's why I was making the point of it earlier. These things
that should be on the record and the suggestion to see that this, we're not really deliberating on that at the moment.
Then, just in case you may not be aware, or one or two of you may not be aware, the effect of your recommendation is if you recommend disapproval, then they're required to have a majority plus one in order for the town board to pass it. So if you were to recommend against the rezoning, the town board would need at least a 4-1 vote.
Supermajority.
Supermajority to approve the action.
Well, I understand there's a 50-foot setback, and that's part of the zoning regulation. But I think that, based on your notes, Jim, there's an indication that it would be an extra to require that there is a buffer as a no-disturb area with vegetated screening, trees, and the like.
Right. So it's not just a setback. But the distinguishing feature is setback can have disturbance. I mean, as you know, it can be parking, that kind of thing. It's a buffer.
It could be trucks.
It's a no-touch area.
I do think that's a very good recommendation. While the applicant presently owns the bulk of the property that is in that rear area, there's still an overall neighborhood and a couple of other residences that are at least kids' corner to this extension in the C3.
And as the applicant indicated, you know, the ownership pattern that we have now is going to be there forever, where the buffer stays in place no matter what.
And I'm going to argue that I'm going out on a limb here guessing this, looking at the map I have in front of me, but I'm going to guess that on the southern edge of this strip that we're looking at adding in, it's substantially more than 50 feet. And the reason I say that is because it's wider than the lot on Merritt Road. Far as I know on Merritt Road, we have no home lots that are 50 feet wide.
I see. Yep.
So it may be 50 feet on Jacoby Road.
Yeah, right. It does. It certainly starts out thinner and widens as it goes down as well.
So how would we describe the limits of the buffer compared to the setback?
I think you just refer to the whatever buffer you want, its own dimension. The buffer really shouldn't have any relationship to the setback. Or it doesn't have to anyhow, let's put it that way.
You said that you want a 50-foot buffer, planted buffer, screening buffer, and put it fly outside or whatever you want to do.
I think we can address that also if the project goes ahead, the proposed project, or in whatever is proposed on that commercial area, we can still address that.
Yes.
And the other way to address it would be to ask that it be put into the deeds of the properties of the covenant.
Board, any further questions?
That's belts and suspenders.
And I guess, you know, if it were my suggestion would be this, is that, you know, this is the first of a number of times which we will end up being before you. Obviously, this recommendation goes to the town board. If that happens, back before you for the PUD recommendation, which goes before the town board, then I'm back before you for our site plan. You know, to the extent we wanted to talk about the act of buffering, my suggestion would be probably site plan might make the most sense on that, given, you know, the change here could simply be a as what's already permitted in the C3, a light doctor's office or something like that, which might not require that type of buffering that you're contemplating. So, and that's the question.
I would say I think it's important that we mention it at this time, because if we give an approval or an okay for this and it goes ahead and moves ahead, then the applicant can argue, well, when it was approved, there were no limits put on it. Why should we have extent? Well, when it was approved by the town board, there were no limits put on it at that time. Why should we be adding them now? No other commercial one has to. So I think it's probably not a bad idea to mention it in our recommendation here and let the town board decide what they want to do as far as.
I see a couple of things happening here. We have to come to some sort of decision.
John has a question.
Jerry, yes.
The buffer that we're talking about, I'm looking at the map. I see some lots nearby that are split between the commercial and residential zone. So what happens to a lot along Merrick Road that is half commercial and half residential? Where is the buffer? Does the buffer apply to their rear lot line, which would be the side lot line of Ty Hall's land? Where do we think the buffer applies?
According to our code right now, a buffer is between a commercial and residential, regardless of front, rear, or side. So it would be in play no matter what.
Okay, as long as a lot has some residential characteristic to it, does the board feel that the buffer applies there as well? That's my understanding. Does the rest of the board feel that?
Well, that's a good point. You can word the buffer either a buffer from residential zoning districts or a buffer from residential use.
The way our code goes, it's a district.
Correct.
So that I would think would be what applies.
It would be best to be consistent with that to avoid confusion.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Okay. Anything further, Mark? Well, I'm going to throw one at you then. We have the ability or the opportunity, depending on your perspective, to hold a public hearing for this zoning amendment. Is it your learned opinion that we need to hold a public hearing for this or not, seeing as how the town board is going to end up holding a public hearing if they decide to go forward?
We're just doing a recommendation.
We're doing a recommendation only. We do not have the authority to approve.
So we can do a public meeting for a recommendation?
Yeah.
Okay, we have it in our authority. I don't think we need to.
I think if the town board's doing it anyway,
it's
covered.
Town board has to.
I would say the only reason for a public hearing in our vetting of this would be to collect information, and I'm not sure there's any information we need to collect on this movement.
And you are going to have a public hearing on this if it comes back for site plan someday, or whatever happens here.
Of course. Because this particular action, I don't see us collecting any information that would.
Well, do I have that in front of a motion of some sort?
You want a motion that we not hold a public hearing?
Yeah.
Sure. Make a motion that we rescind our use of a public hearing on this particular proposal.
Motion has been made to not hold a planning board public hearing for the rezoning on wherever this thing is, Merritt Road, for the Ty Hall project. The motion, will I have a second?
I'll second.
Here. Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, silence is golden. Would you call the roll, please?
Jerry Bouchard?
Aye.
Ann Perdue?
Aye.
Eric Bergman?
Aye.
John Arnold?
Aye.
Adam Siebel?
Aye.
Peter Jensen?
Aye.
Aye. I have it's, 7 in the affirmative, correct?
Correct.
Motion carries. Now, board, what is your recommendation to the town board concerning this amendment, zoning amendment? Are you going to tell them to get lost?
Personally, I'd be in favor of the bottom. Be in favor of making it all commercial, you know, with respect to function and discussion. We're going from a central lots to that.
Okay. I guess that I'm kind of thick at some time. But how are we going to designate the amount of change that we're recommending to the town board? We're not going to tell them 2 feet.
We put it just.
Yeah,
no. Can you put a value on it in motion?
Is it the buffer or the back line of the county? Oh. A lot. I mean, we're moving the zoning for the lot designation,
yeah.
Or the zoning designation to the back lot line.
Oh, to that's what, where are we moving it to?
To the back lot.
Back lot line of?
Those four properties.
The four properties that are front of the back.
Of the residential.
Well, no, the back lot line of those four properties that are in the commercial zone.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would suggest that we put some type of an addendum on it that says we, however, recommend that the residential or current residential area that is being converted remain as either a buffer or undeveloped commercially.
Do you want just 50 feet or do you want...
No, I think I'm okay with them using that set-aside area as part of their 50 feet, but I think I'm more comfortable that we're not converting residential property into commercial developed property. We're just including it with the commercial.
Would we need a survey in order to establish that line?
There is a meets and bounds survey. There's a meets and bounds description. So we at least, a surveyor knows exactly where that would be, and that's included in our application. We don't have a survey on that area.
But we have a survey on the back line where R1 and Z3 come together currently.
Correct. Right. Yes. There's a legal description describing it, yes.
Okay.
And
there's a survey.
There's not a survey of this particular area. We have surveys of different lots, but it would be, and then the descriptions.
In the C3, the side setback is 12 feet.
Oh. Okay. So yeah, I'm not, with that in mind, what I just had Jim look up is what the side setback is for in the C3. In that case, I'm not okay with just doing a 50 foot off that back, because whoever has that third lot on Merritt Road could have commercial development within 12 feet of their boundary line. Would that change? So I really would like to see it be the current residential line, or that current line that we're converting right now, that area not be used for commercial development.
So let me get this straight so we understand where the recommended zone line is going to be. Is the zone line going to track with the property boundary?
Yes.
And then that portion that was previously R1 zoning is going to become buffer no disturb.
Yes.
But it's zone C3.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless there's a legal issue with that or a technicality issue with that.
No, that's a little okay.
This is a unique situation in this one particular parcel, which is why they're asking to make this change in the first place.
I was hoping it's not for any change from what exists right now.
What's that, Jerry?
How does that change what exists right now? If we take the area that of the property that's zoned R1, and we say it's just going to be a buffer, we're not going to let anything be developed on it, how does it change anything?
Well, what it does change, Jerry, is you're right about the buffer. It doesn't really change the practical effect of the buffer, but it does allow for PUD zoning or a PUD amendment to be put over the entire area now because it's all going to be in the C3 district. That's what's gained.
Okay.
The buffer is really, you're right, the buffer area really remains the same.
Okay. Now that we've mumbled through the mud, would you kindly restate your motion so I can write it down and we can get it to the town?
Well, we had a motion, a well-worded one from four, and then I kind of blabbered on about something. So all I was saying is that as we approve this, I would highly recommend that. And we can't really tell the town what to do. We can just make this recommendation, but I would highly recommend that the converted R1 area that's converted to commercial in this move not be allowed for commercial development. I'm okay with them using it as, I'm okay with your client using it as part of this 50-foot buffer. Okay.
Okay.
I want to be clear on that. I just...
Just one second, John.
Yeah.
Did you also have some... I thought I heard you say something that would have pertained to side, I'll say the applicant's side setback in relation to lots on Merritt Road?
Well, we were discussing just putting a setback on the back. You know, the normal setback for the C is 50 feet on the rear lot line. But I asked Jim what the side lot line is because the back of lot number 3 on Merritt Road there is coming up on the side of this commercial property, or would be the side of it.
Right. That was 12 feet.
Yeah.
Right, 12 feet.
Yeah, so that's what got me was, okay, you could have a commercial development within 12 feet of that guy's back lot line.
Right. Did your motion address that at all? Were you looking to extend that or leave it as is?
No, actually, I just decided that we would just take that part that's R1 right now, and as much as it's converted to the C zone to help with the PUD applicant, and just clean up the lot lines, that we're not going to allow that strip, or we're going to ask that strip be left undeveloped, act as a buffer.
Okay, thank you.
And I am okay, Jerry, with them using part of that buffer for their 50-foot setback. That's the one thing that does change, is they now don't have to be 50 feet back from that lot line that exists right now, that artificial line through the middle of the property.
You mean right at district boundary?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sorry, not lot line, the zoning boundary.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's confusing.
That's okay.
I do that a lot.
To the motion. We have a second.
Is it my motion?
It's your motion.
So what is the motion now? If you've been modified, what is it going to be?
The motion is to recommend to the town board that the C1 zoning be extended to the rear.
C3.
I'm sorry, C3 zoning be extended to the rear of the property. Borders, with the caveat that the where the R1 is currently remains a buffer in perpetuity.
In no disturb area.
A no disturb area.
No clearing. No soil disturbance.
No disturb.
To protect the residential property.
No disturb area. Wait a second.
Well, Eric and I worked on the motion, so we can't second.
I'll second it.
There you go.
Okay. Motion to make and second. Any further discussion? If not, call the roll, please.
Jerry Bouchard?
Aye.
Ann Perdue?
Aye.
Eric Bergman?
Aye.
John Arnold?
Aye.
Adam Siebel?
Aye.
Peter Jensen?
Aye. I have 6-1.
Six. What was one? What was seven?
Seven to one?
Yeah.
Seven.
Six.
Then okay. Six off.
Six. Yeah, six off.
Good. I'm all right. We'll go on. Motion carries.
Thank you all. We'll go before the town board. We'll be back again for another recommendation in a couple months.
And we will do our best to confuse you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Kenny. Tell us a story.
Well, we were here 3 weeks ago with the sketch plan. Chris and Derek, their land surveying. I think we were here last meeting, and I know I'm supposed to identify myself. We came into the sketch plan for a sore lot subdivision. This property is 20 acres. That's located off on Selfridge Road. Based on the reactions and feedback we got from the board, we proceeded to put together a preliminary subdivision layout, including driveways, potential house locations, septic locations, to move this along. A couple of items that we changed or updated from the sketch plan that you saw the last meeting, we went out and did some more field work and were able to better place these contours that you see on the ground. Phil, Seth, meet Sean on site and come up with some realistic house locations. The configuration of the proposed lots has changed slightly from the sketch plan. My lot C, the both lot C is the one that are further south. We reconfigured the lot line between C and D, the two on the south, to better place the potential house location on lot D and sort of come back to a more favorable location for an actual residence.
Okay, thank you. Before we go any further, I have to get myself out of trouble. And I must divulge that I have been a client of mine, and anything that I have done for him has no connection whatsoever with any matter pending before this board. I make a statement for transparency and to remove any semblance of impropriety. Thank you. Please continue.
Beyond that, we did change slightly the proposed shared driveway location. Again, it's based on topography on the site. Originally, the plan was to bring the shared driveway in and travel the lot line between lot B and lot D all the way back. However, the slopes in that area, when you get to the rear of the lot, are steeper than would be favorable for a driveway. So we sort of meandered the driveway away from that lot line and into lot B, which is in the northeast corner of the project, to lessen the steepness of the driveway through that area. We also positioned the driveways for lots, the two front lots for A and C, so they're generally opposite each other, to afford a hammerhead or a turnaround partway down the shared driveway.
Okay, and educate me a little bit. This parcel is near Thornapple Drive?
Correct, yeah. On the second sheet, there is a yellow plate location map. It also includes joiner names, but you can see Thornapple on there. Thornapple is to the north, Hatchery Road intersection is just to the south.
And have you done preparation tests and test fit on this parcel?
We have not.
Have not. Okay.
our sketch plan is 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure how it first has would have turned out, but we're hopefully getting forth some sawing going on so we can actually get into these things.
Are these topo lines accurate?
They were generated from LiDAR data that was downloaded to Gary's GIS clearing house. So they're good for planning. They're not as a result of the field survey.
So is that why then the driveway doesn't straddle that boundary line? It's because in reality those topos aren't accurate on the map? Because you said something about it being, you know, different grade or whatever, but looking at the topos, it actually looks like the grade would be better on the boundary line than up where you have the driveway proposed. The closer they are together, the steeper the grade.
It is, and we're trying as best we can to sort of, you know, meander, kind of go up, not so we're not perpendicular to contour lines, because that's the steepest possible slope. We're trying to sort of meander, so we're coming up the slope and not switching back. I hate to use that word, because it's not accurate, but we tried to find the path of least resistance of that hillside.
Clearing up just a quick bit of confusion for me. I'm looking at the erosion and sediment control plan map, mainly because it's the one that has it all on one, so I have to put back and forth pages now. On that map, I'm showing another lot out by Sulphur Cove.
There should be a total of four.
Yeah, and I'm confused by this, because it may be just an inherent line, I don't know. I've got a line right here. On the other map, I show this lot A going all the way out to Sulphur Cove.
I don't know what that lot is. Unfortunately, that is not prepared by me.
Okay.
Yep.
So, on this map, it doesn't show that.
Correct.
It shows that lot A goes all the way out to Sulphur Cove. And that's the reality.
Okay. Absolutely.
I don't know how to look at that. Okay. The little dog leg at the back of lot C.
So
I'm assuming that's to get 5 acres?
Correct. So what we did was this house site was back here a little further before.
And
lot C was deeper.
Right.
And we said, well, this is actually a better spot for this house. So we needed to, in order for them to get the setback and not be right on top of their neighbor, we had to bring this line back, which meant making the lot smaller. So we kind of stole a little bit of area from that far corner of lot D. So that all the math would work.
I expected that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, any further questions, comments, concerns?
I just got a suggestion, just logistically. Mm-hmm. It would be, I think, a good idea on the next submission if you and who's the engineer here? Yeah, if you could coordinate your sheets here and get one plan set, you know, because I found myself almost missing things until I saw the soil and erosion control plan had items of information that distance, like limits of clearing and that kind of thing. So we need to combine this into one plan set.
Yeah.
You know.
From the last
meeting
to the submission,
doesn't end
about 8.
Yeah, so, I know, I understand.
Yeah,
but on the next set, if we can get a coordinated set of sheets here, it's a better coordination, that would be good.
Yep.
It'd be just easier to understand what the being proposed.
Yeah, I think we took ours off. Yes, it was requested by the engineer because he had to work on the MCAT.
And then while we're on the SWIFT fee has been paid, the SWIFT review is initiated. I just don't have any comments back yet. But they have initiated the SWIFT review.
Length of the driveway for home C and D.
I believe to the far back we came up with for 1,400?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1,400 feet.
And the width of that driveway?
20 feet.
Good.
Around. That was my house. I want to make sure that fire truck can get there.
They don't like backing out hundreds of feet.
No, they don't. We want them to go as fast as they can, too. So.
So the driveway will be designed to be 20 feet wide, have clearances of over 13 feet, and be able to withstand the impact of an 85,000-pound fire truck.
Absolutely.
They don't get stuck either.
Nope.
They'll tolerate some potholes.
No, we gotta get a cement truck up there first to build a house. So if the cement truck can make it, I'm sure the fire truck will be able to as well.
Having spent a portion of my career in construction, I would argue that that is not a logical argument.
No?
Because I've seen cement truck guys take trucks you should never. They come in 6- and 8-wheel drive for a reason.
That's true.
What are the soils like out there?
They are.
I know you haven't talked.
Down on the lower side in front of my train, see, this is Sean McKenna. Okay. You know, it's a little bit wet, but
everyone talking about wet. I mean, as far as soil types, is that sand out there?
It's going to be sand, but there's going to be some cobble rock. Nothing too big that we can see, only because you can see some walls were built in the areas.
Right, but up on that side, it's more. Elevation, it's more sand, right?
Yes.
This is the clay that's on the other side.
I dug in the best I could. You know, there's frosted areas. We drove stakes in with our crew. You know, they did hit a rock. We don't know how big it was. It was still frozen. But,
this is a, it's the soil designation I looked at was the Charlton Loam.
Yeah.
It's throughout the entire, the CCB you see on the sediment erosion control plan, that's the soil designation.
Right.
I think most of the site is that Charlton Loam and the Charlton soil series, which is fairly well drained, good for septics.
So that's what we did with the survey crew when they came out. I actually showed them where I wanted the house. They went back to the house, and that's not going to work. And we did that back and forth for a while. And we found the highest elevations that will hold the septic system in the house with, you know, getting that foundation. We, you know, the elevation change from the front 2 lots to the culvert pipe, like 15, 16 feet elevation change. So everything is draining away from these locations.
Thank you, Director. The soil on the drive is clay haven.
Yeah, that's what I think you'll find in the first 500 feet of this.
So. Okay.
You can see where the neighbor to the south, there's a trail that goes all the way back, and they have a barn there. You can see it better on the survey.
Yeah.
That trail continues over right across where a house. The first 2 lots. A and C, that trail traverses through the center of those houses. And you can see where they dug out the embankment, pretty good size hole. And it looks like a dirt main. And that's what I could reference on. I mean, they dug 20 feet into a bank, and there wasn't any boulders sitting on the side, there wasn't any clay piles, and there wasn't a puddle in it. So, you know, it made me feel pretty good. But as soon as we get the machine back there, we'll know more. And the engineer did the septic proposals, and he feels that all systems would fit for this house. A mound system, even if it's as bad as a mound system, raised system. And we're hoping for conventional systems. We feel that we're going to achieve that with that soil there. But we have room in the clearing for the largest system possible.
And no wetlands came up on any of the mapping that I looked at.
Okay. I asked the last meeting for a designation, and the town or the planning board didn't vote on it, so they may all think I'm nuts on this, but I asked for if you would mind putting a designation in that says that there's no street sign. We'll be putting
in
this.
No street signs. Right.
Okay. I didn't notice a note here, but I may have missed it.
And you wanted some addresses too, where we found the address to the south is 434, the address to the north is 462. So we have 28 numbers in between there. I feel pretty good about getting rid of the A, B, C, D stuff.
They were pretty good out in the rural area. I'm like on my road between the corner and my mailbox, they gave 30, which gives you room for 15 houses, and there's no way you can get 15 houses.
Unless zoning and you need 40 feet of frontage. I mean, nothing else can happen in these 4 lots.
Well, what they generally does is they reserve, they go in 50-foot increments, they reserve the numbers.
Okay. So, should be plenty of numbers in there to to get four separate numbers.
Do you want us to reach out to the assessor? I mean, I don't know what the process is with that exactly.
You have to before your final.
To get the numbers, yeah, they have to be.
Before your final plat, you'll have to record the addresses right on the plat.
Can you help with this, copy this map? Or is
yeah, I'll stop and ask here. Okay.
And you will have to put the bank of mailboxes out on Sulphur Drive.
Correct.
The post office won't be driving in the driveway.
No.
In fact, from what they're telling me from the Fort Edward Mail, their postal office, they don't want subdivisions to have individual mailboxes anymore. They want mail kiosks out by the road. They don't even want to drive in any new subdivisions.
Yeah, we would do a bank, I think, the four mailboxes in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in this case, it wouldn't matter anyway. It's private, it's not even private, it's a shared driveway.
Yeah.
So the mailboxes have to go at the end of the driveway. So. Where would the utilities, are they all going to be buried, or?
Yes.
Along
so
the side?
We haven't met with National Grid, but that's my, it's less expensive, number one, and I'm an excavator, so I just didn't dig the trench, so everything should be underground. I don't see any point in that.
Well, I mean, I saw for the electrical, but I mean, when you do that, this is just a personal question, do you bury everything?
Yes.
So you'll bury, like, cable and phone right in there?
Yeah, Spectrum. Phone hasn't been used in a lot of developments for quite a while now. With Spectrum phones and cell phones. So
what landlines?
No, well, Spectrum, you can get away with Spectrum now.
Right.
It's all the same cable.
So same.
But no Verizon landlines.
I don't have time more, I think, what was it, Verizon? No.
Yeah, no pulse lines.
No.
Okay.
No.
No.
Jerry, did you have anything?
He's in there.
I'm a little, I'm a little uncomfortable with a 1,000-foot-plus shared driveway, but I don't know what to do with that yet. It just seems a little excessive. But you know, I wasn't at the last meeting, so I didn't know what got discussed at that point. That's my first watch on this.
He's behind Bill.
So, Jerry, are you okay with a 1,000-foot driveway?
No, I said I was a little uncomfortable with that. That seems a little excessive, but I don't know exactly what the alternative is based on the applicant's layout. It's the only way to get it done.
Well, I was just clarifying because you said you weren't okay with a 1,000-foot shared driveway, and I wondered if it was the shared part or just the 1,000-foot driveway.
Well, I think the fact that we've got I think it's the shared part. I've had some experience with long shared driveways, and the people who live near the road don't really enjoy the maintenance of the portion of the driveway that extends many hundreds of feet past their house. So, but that may just be the applicant's problem. At this point, that's my only. I don't know that it's would stop me from voting for this. It's just the thing that's got me hung up. I look at this and I think it's a risk. That's all.
Okay. Thank you.
You guys reviewed page 2 of the driveway agreement when the attorney separated percentage of liability or ownership. Lot A is 18%, lot B is 25%. Lot C is 28.5 and lot D is 28.5, which can be adjusted, but they seem to be the fairest way to do it. The first guy in doesn't pay plowing at the end of the road.
Right.
But it's a wide driveway. I need a plow truck to drive to the end and drive back, and now it's plowed. But it's not, It seems pretty simple for maintenance.
Well, one thing you might want to consider in that agreement is that lot owner B is the one taking responsibility for orchestrating and paying, and I guess seeking.
Have one person take care of it, and they're allowed to get three bids if they don't feel the price is fair.
Yeah, so
which is in here.
Yeah, it's in there, but you may want to try to make it a little bit more specific so that it's enforceable in terms of when is payment due, and if payment doesn't happen, what is Lot D's recourse? Does he have a lien?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right, so right now, it doesn't really have much teeth.
Okay.
The estimate that you've thrown in there that what the law owner may require it, you may want to build some language around that too so that that's not abused.
Yeah. So you're saying if you're going to pay him back, then what do you do?
He still has to get to his house.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you don't have a homeowners association, but you have homeowner association issues.
Okay.
And yeah, that's very well put. I think that's my fear here. We had a number of shared drives that we've approved, but this one is a leap beyond. I'll just put it that way. So,
well, what we've done in the past, too, is we've also had the maintenance agreement and the deed language put to the attorney for review.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you put yourself in the owner's shoes.
Sure.
And you just spent thousands of dollars plowing. And everyone says, oh, that's nice of
you. No, I understand. Yeah. Do you guys have a suggestion on wording so that we can actually apply that before you?
She's the attorney.
Oh, yeah, I'm not the attorney. That would be a conflict.
That is a hat you're not willing to take up.
It's a conflict, actually.
That's right.
Okay. Anything further, Mark?
I have one other point. Okay. Jim, you mentioned in your notes that we needed to get a cross-section of the road. We shouldn't have a fire department look at that as well.
Done that in the past.
Okay. So I would say cross-section of the road and also the fire department review that, plus we should look at the
cross-section as far as construction of the road, the basin well.
Correct.
Not a road.
Dimensions and makeup.
Okay. We can do that.
It's much easier than waiting till the houses are built and have the fire department company say, I'm sorry, we can't come in and give you fire protection because we can't get in there.
Now, you're going to encounter when you get to the fire department that they're kind of, depending on the day, anything you can get, a short email, a message, but it has to be written. There should be some written indication that they've looked at this and they're okay with it. Right?
Is there somewhere in the town that there's text for that in the town code or?
Yes. Okay. There are in the subdivision regulations, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, there's some standard details. I mean, there's several other sheets that we've done when I come in and look.
Sure. And maybe we can send them something and say, this is what we're doing. And go,
Yep. Because you just got to make sure you got a sufficient depth of gravel and all that to support the load. Okay. They're standard details.
Anything further, board? Turn it off and start a play. Do you have any questions of us?
What's next?
Well, one thing I noticed in your checklist about the contours. Now, we qualify it's a 20-acre site for essentially four houses. We have type of contours based on LIDAR, which are sufficient for planning. Before we get to final, the intention would be to go in and capture the actual field survey at elevations and create the 2-foot contours based on the ground survey, like what's in the regulations, for each of those building sites, essentially where the clearing limits is. Now, what's showing here, is that sufficient for the board for a final plat? To me, it seems excessive to have to field survey 20 acres of four houses. If we could capture sufficient...
That would be sufficient in the area where you're going to have clearing.
Correct.
And accompanying that, the reason for the 2-foot contouring is not just that 2-foot contouring, but also to show... a grading plan in there,
right.
And also
so
that more specific contours help in determining, is there going to be any area where you might want to consider a retaining wall or something like that.
Right.
It's just to make sure that and it drains well and in association with the SWIP. So that's the reason for the 2-foot contouring, and usually in the areas of the clearing is sufficient.
For stormwater and where the road is.
Right.
Where the shared driveway is.
How the driveways tie into the main drive and all that.
Right, absolutely. The engineer's going to need it anyhow. All the other areas seems kind of...
I'm sure Sean's going to have that right on this hood of his pickup truck when he's out there grading to make sure he does it to the left.
Absolutely.
That's actually the little laser thing on the machine floor, right?
Yeah. That's right.
You're just there to turn the key on.
That's right. Does the board feel like you're in a sufficient place for a public hearing?
Yeah, I think so. Will we have the engineering back in time for?
We should by April. By the April meeting.
SHPO, endangered species.
Mm,
I didn't see any.
That doesn't surprise me, but I'm pretty sure that's not what we're doing.
It's usually a standard letter.
Yeah.
And it should, you should go into the DEC map or two to see if it pops up there.
Here we have.
Yeah. That's like a literature search, but you should also, it's a, we call it a birds and bunnies letter.
Yep.
So numbers, endangered species.
Grading, you're grading in topo. If the board does decide to move with a public hearing, you're going to read requests for the sign up at least 10 days prior. We do the notification from our office for the hearing.
I haven't seen it on a map, so I'm assuming it's not there, but there's no wetlands on this parcel.
Awesome. I looked and there's not.
I just asked. That's all.
It was in the staff notes after you looked in the attachment.
And since it's 4-1, the health department is not involved.
What's that?
County is not.
For what was that, Peter? I didn't hear the question.
We're going down to designated agencies. It's 4 lots, so there's no health department.
No health department?
No. There's no coordinated review.
So it's not coordinated. And there's 4 lots that probably do not need to notify the school district. This is not sufficient enough to raise the alarms.
And if you did, they would probably ask if you could make it more.
Mm-hmm. Have you done a part one yet on the seeker side?
I have. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, you should submit that on your next submission to
I have one completed. I spread the note already sent to you.
Okay. Yep, okay.
No, you have a request from the applicant to schedule a public hearing for the Minnesota subdivision of the homeless information.
We do have one already for April. We have the biochar set for 701.
Yeah, I can remember that. So I make a motion that we set a public hearing for, what are we calling this, Mr. McMahon? Anything in particular?
We have numbers though.
Because we don't have a number yet.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. This is subdivision number 2-22.
Okay. So you want to use that and not the location?
Well, I think we could use both.
Okay. So for sub-02-2022.
Yep.
At 444, listed as 444 Selfridge Road, Danforth, New York. For April 18th at 7:10. So that way, if the first applicant doesn't show up with 15 people, and you just have 10 minutes to wait, you can start late. You can't start early. So,
okay. Motion's been made to hold a public hearing for the McKenna subdivision for radio meeting at 4:18. Motion by the second.
I'll second it.
Motion been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Yes, I know that the controversial. All of you, aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carried. And as you said, always said before, and it all start late. You have any questions of us?
So you'll have a revised plan set in then by the next submission date?
Sure. The 4th?
Yeah. Whatever, 2 weeks before and after. Yeah, yeah, the 4th.
Will you contact me when the engineers have any questions on stuff? As soon as we're actually, I can update that.
Yep, as soon as I get the letter, I'll send it right off.
So what's the date of submission for the next meeting?
The 4th.
April 4th?
Yeah. On that score, though, if that exchange comes in a day or two late, we can keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, on the engineering. That engineering,
I'm not going to put right that in.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm
talking about. Hopefully, we should get it in the next week.
And that puts the next meeting on the 18th, you said?
Correct. That's your hearing date.
Can we review those exchanges between the developer and the engineer? But we don't usually have
a little bit of time. I got the
power. Yeah.
So it's not something we actually bring.
Well, if he's got something to change, I'd like to get involved in motion. Later the better.
But having it submitted in time is to give us time to review it so we can question it.
Yeah.
We trust our engineer to a large degree.
Good.
Thank you.
No, Roy, you don't want to start this guy on this one?
No.
I don't think so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, you're not hearing the neighbors across the street like that one.
It's not nice to have them here. The same as all the rest of the meetings, not to have them at all. I think we did it.
You're back again.
Again.
You just almost, no matter what we do, you just keep coming back.
We're pushing a year on this. Mike.
My starting to look like it's starting to look like you're just enjoying meetings.
I actually do. It's not personal, but
actually, I haven't seen him in some time.
Yeah, it's wild. So I wonder what happened.
I like going out and talking to people. It's better to sit in the office and keep
sure.
Going all day long. So, since our last visit, we had a secret attorney. Yeah. From the record.
The reporter doesn't know who's talking.
Pardon. Yeah, for the record, my name is Joshua O'Connor. I'm a professional engineer licensed in New York, working for Green & Peterson Incorporated and retained by Global Partners LLC to act as their agent.
Perfect.
Thank you. So, at our last meeting, we talked at length about the project status. I believe, completed our seeker neg deck comments.
Yes, we did.
And we were waiting for resolution of comments from New York State DOT. New York State DOT has been, well, busy. They've been very busy. The way it goes there in cycles, they hire, and then 20 years later, everyone retires, and we're in that trough right now, and they have staffing issues. So it's been difficult to get to make the kind of progress we've been looking to make. But that said, we do have all of the comments back from DOT on our Stage 2 submission. To clarify, we have not yet responded to DOT on all of those comments. I can review them with you. I did send them to Mr. Martin. The state of the project today is that we have, in the plans that I've presented, have incorporated all of the changes that were required by DOT pursuant to the scope of the planning review. DOT asked for crash data and some additional traffic information. In finalizing their assessment of the potential requirement for some striping revisions in the road itself, we aren't able to move forward until that's resolved with DOT. But that said, the permit isn't complete until that's done, and that permit is it's not unrelated to your concern, but it's not part of the town's action, whether the striping gets done or not. And you've met Tom Daniel up, the owner's rep. I've spoken to him extensively about this. We're going to do whatever DOT asks us to do. We're not arguing with them. It's just a matter of getting through the process. The reason we're not, just sitting on our hands and waiting for this to be resolved finally to come back is, as you're aware, there are issues with supply chain and ordering. This is a large company, and they can't order without some sort of endorsement, even conditional. They're spending close to probably $6 million on this project, and they're not going to start building it on spec. That's not the way their company works. So they need to get this on the books with a worst-case anticipated cost for the DOT work, which we put together estimates for them, and the site, so they can order gas tanks, which
You know, they take a lot right now. You know, we need E1 for the grinder pumps and put all that stuff together. So our hope is that the plan as we have it, which satisfies the structural, the zoning and planning related components in the DOT comment letters, satisfies your requirements to the extent that we can do a conditional approval.
Mr. Martin, do you have comments back and satisfied from our consultants?
That's what I'm checking on. I believe we have. I believe your SWIP has been...
The SWIP is completed.
Yep, yep. The SWIP is completed. The comment letter has been fully responded to. Yeah, the only outstanding I have from my notes was the DOT / traffic concerns. The SWIP has been...
Well, and but backing up, Jim, we did not respond to Creighton Manning's traffic letter. We didn't issue a response yet because they asked for the same information that DOT did, and we had to foil crash data. We're going to remit a response to CME at the same time. Mm-hmm. A couple of their comments are we can refer to DOT's approval of the layout for the CME letter. So I guess what I'm saying is what we could answer in the CME letter, like they asked for the sidewalk. We incorporated the sidewalk. They had recommendations about signage and circulation, and we've satisfied those recommendations. But as I said, they had some outstanding questions about the trip generation and the and crash data in their letter, which we didn't have an answer for yet. But that said, at the end of the day, it is DOT's road.
Adequacy of parking.
They had a comment, right, affirming that we had adequate parking. But that's your, you know, we feel that we do, and we make the parking requirement. So I don't see where there's an issue with that.
Is there any further questions for this applicant?
I
will talk all day long if you don't stop me. So
you don't have that kind of time.
I like you don't. So. No, I'm confident that we can, through satisfaction of DOT's comments, we will simultaneously satisfy CME's concerns as well.
You replaced the sidewalk.
Yes.
And it crosses pretty much the whole front. It goes from one side of the property to the other.
That is correct.
You're not planning any kind of a crosshatch, crosswalk in your driveway segment, right?
There is not typically one in the right of way.
Good.
Are there a number of other comments about truck template for turning?
I can show you that specifically. I did not want to issue another drawing for the sake of it. I mean, the circulation, and we show it on our site plan. And I think for Mark, that's largely checking a box. As far as the circulation goes, his comment was, can you access the site southbound? Yes. We've done the truck turn. We know that we can. So I can put a sketch together for him. His other comment was, can we access the pumps at the front? It's going to take him a couple turns around the site to do it. But yes, they drive around the site. All of these trucks decant on the passenger side. That's why we cite it the way we do. They pull up next to it, decant their fuel product, take another lap around it. You know, there's we don't have an issue with truck turning on this. To the extent that our entrances are over wide, we're 40-foot wide drives, you know, all of the considerations that, you know, that was one of the comments I had from Ken Davis, informally at DOT, on the phone, was why are your driveways so wide? Can you narrow these down? We can't because we wouldn't be able to service the vehicles if we didn't.
And he also asked about the fire department reviewing this.
I don't have a response from them.
From the fire department?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you been in contact with fire services?
I've left phone messages.
Oh boy.
They're doing fish fry on Friday nights.
That's probably, I could have actually, I was just at the site, I could have talked to them right then before I came here. There was an accident over at Atlanta Fire this evening.
That's probably not a good
thing. Yeah, I didn't think I would. I'm like, oh, they're here. I can push harder. I know that, you know, we've done the truck turn, the pavement design is of a thickness to support WB-57 trucks loaded for highway travel. And the circulation design also supports those vehicles. I cannot imagine how that does not support the turns, the required access for a fire, for the fire department's vehicles.
We don't have one, and you don't have any need for a ladder truck.
No.
So,
I respect the request. We have a lot of issue getting fire marshals on record all over the state of New York. You know, in earnestness, well, we want to be able to have emergency responders, you know, on site. We design it for that. So, I don't think there's an issue there. I'd be very surprised if we had one. I couldn't imagine what it would be.
You're all set on your water sewer connection.
Yes, that's supposed to be completed in June. The sewer's supposed to be ready to go in June, and so they'll be able to connect as soon as the project is underway and abandon the existing septic system. I did send plans to Mr. Mooney, reviewed them on the phone with him, pointed out all of the highlights and the lowlights, and he said because the service is small, he doesn't really have anything to say about it.
Okay, board. You want to see Mr. O'Connor's great smiling face back here again, or was there something else you wanted to do?
I'd like to. I think we've probably got an application that's together at this point. We're ready to move forward.
I guess I still have outstanding questions about the traffic study.
Okay.
Great demand is one of the less expensive, and I think you're correct, Josh, that maybe a lot of that will be resolved through New York State DOT conversations.
Okay.
But not a whole bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trip generation is a big question on a number of fronts in this letter.
They do mention it.
A lot. But I would like to see how that is resolved. And I didn't see the response to the SWIFT letter that LaBerge did, but my recollection was that the letter itself did not raise a lot of issues other than that concrete washout in
I don't recall if they issued a response to my response, Jim. I don't. I incorporated all of the changes that they asked for, and they did have some comments, like you mentioned, the concrete washout area. On the erosion center control plan, refining our construction entrance, you know, the tracking pad, that sort of thing.
It wasn't extensive. Just a couple of things.
Oh, and there were some things in the calculations, too.
Yeah.
But that's straightforward. Yeah.
So, again, I guess I have to ask, the questions from the traffic study, are they extensive enough that we can't schedule a public hearing for this for April?
We already have a public hearing.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Then
I'm going to rescind what I said earlier that I had Ann making comments because I thought that we were moving towards a public hearing.
No, the procedure's done, the public hearing's open and closed.
Okay.
Secret's been completed.
Then I'm going to actually slide over to Ann's side that I would like to see. We're looking at a finish product now. I'd like to see a finish on the traffic.
Okay.
That was my mistake, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I think it's button down on Swift comments. Yeah, I thought a bird is on it.
The last one I have is December 7th.
That's all I have.
Okay.
So, with that in mind, would you like to deploy something for the next one?
For the indefinite future.
And yeah. really try on the fire thing. I know you already.
I'm going to have to stop, and that's what it comes down to. That's fine.
The reason I made the comment about Friday night is I don't know if you stopped in on the general time if there's anybody even there.
I don't. It's volunteer here, right?
Yeah. I mean, if he's not there on a 2:30 on a Thursday, the place may be empty.
You know, Malta has a designated building enforcement, code enforcement person who answers the phone for the fire marshal. So
yeah,
then that they're easy to deal with. But otherwise, I know. I mean, I'm on the board in my village, and you can't hit our fire department on the phone.
No. Well, you can't. You have to light yourself on fire and dial 911.
But
I wouldn't recommend.
No, but I hope to get another trip into Gore. I'll be driving by. So.
Mm-hmm. And John, so I need to ask one other question. I didn't get these revised plans until tonight. The ones that are, I guess,
I brought them Friday.
Yeah, they're revised as of March 17th. I have not had a chance to look at them. Could you tell us
what's on them?
What's changed?
Okay. I mean, I can basically, it's what's on the comment letter from DOT. So they asked for, and the color is adequate for this. One of the comments was that if there is a saw cut along the road, that the saw cut needs to extend to the white line, to the shoulder completely. I usually do a 2-foot, you know, makeup liner. That was the first one. They asked for reference to DOT standard specifications dated May 1st of 22, which doesn't, they don't exist yet, but they're asking me to refer to their standard spec that isn't out yet. I made that change. They asked for clarification on how the removal of curbing was happening in this corner. And basically, because I left the label that said concrete curb on the, it wasn't on the right layer, so it still said curb there. I think I left it a little ambiguous. So I added notes to the site plan that say remove curb property line. You know, they had other questions asking. That's why I had to identify where grass was being planted, so there were labels added for grass in this area. It said proposed entrance and proposed exit on this. They asked that I remove those labels, which kind of resolved. I still have the signage restricting truck traffic, but not restricting automobile traffic. They asked me not to restrict cars to one side or the other. They had questions about the force main piping that is proposed to cross. We're not doing that work. That's being done by the town. You know, the town is leaving a shuttle on our property. So I answered the question, but that didn't change the plan. They're asking about conduits for electric and telecom, which were shown to the pole. It's a question they're asking. We resolved that with telecom when we put in the work order. And, you know, DOT has to ask, but yes, they'll let us put our sweeps up on the pole. So as far as what it changed in the plans, again, references the standard spec. They wanted me to call out the correct curb on the curb detail, VF6 curb. They asked, I deleted a detail. And then there's just notes on our actual, the final comments are on, so it's a separate drawing that goes to DOT, the work plan that goes to DOT is on 11x17, and it has all DOT item numbers, that sort of thing. So the other comments pertain to those sheets that support the permit application, but they were more things like, you know, lane closure or shoulder closure can't happen on a holiday. The traffic comments from DOT, which we're still waiting to resolve, and they had 5 comments. And I don't know if Jim or those got circulated or not.
I think I did, yeah.
Yeah, so actually, they managed in 5 comments to get pretty much everything that CME had. It's just their broader strokes. You know, their comment was about trip distribution, pass-by trips, and a method for reanalyzing. And they said reanalyze, as opposed to writing that in 5 different ways and 5 different comments. It's one, and it's, you know, number 3. But that said, as I've worked through this, I talked to Ken Davis and talked to their traffic people. The result of this would be, so just kind of, I think, you know, we're not going to resolve this today, that's fine. So we're all on the same page. kind of playing through from my client's perspective, worst case is cost. You know, that's what it comes down to. So worst case for him is the cost of restriping. So any of the reanalysis that we have to do, what that potentially triggers for my client moving forward is the necessity of restriping, and that would be to extend this as a straight sweep now. It would be a dual turn lane to the intersection of Lamplighter, and then moving this taper out to the side of Lamplighter. That's why I was over there looking today, because just visually I want to see if there's, do I need survey or not, is the question. If they really, you know, I'm planning ahead here, if they really push us to do restriping, do I need to get a survey done? I don't believe that I do, so. Just because the shoulder isn't sharp graded. You know, if I have to move a shoulder out and the stripe has to be on the shoulder, then I need sections so we can propose a repaved profile. But it's flat as a pancake through there. There is nothing prohibiting a restripe only. So all of this reanalysis potentially triggers the need to restripe in front, in the right of way in front. But it's not going to change our site design. It's not going to change anything inside the property lines, which is why I came back today hoping that was, you know, knowing I do need to do these things, what, how does it really play out and where does that put us in the future? Does it potentially jeopardize your decision? Does it open the board up to an Article 78 because we failed to consider traffic correctly? You know, it's always iffy, obviously. Any decision is, you know. But their, you know, DOT is still going to enforce their requirements on their road, regardless of your decision. So, and we have to comply. We don't get off the hook one way or the other. We have to satisfy DOT.
And I mean, in this case, you're looking at traffic flow, not traffic volume. You're really not probably going to be increasing the volume of traffic on Route 9.
No, this is all pass by, and that's
more a matter of how is the flow going to work.
That's right.
So,
you know, look. Sure, they would like to hope that in their business case they create, you know, are people going to drive from all over town to get their egg sandwiches? Sure, we hope that that happens, but realistically, that's not how that works, and it's not how the calculation's done.
Yeah, I think we got the comments that you got from NYSDOT on things like cutting away pavement and that sort of stuff. I don't think we got the traffic.
Okay. I can forward those on if you didn't, and I'll give you, just for your sake now, those are those.
Okay.
Those are those. Owen brought one copy, the other is just for my reference. But.
Do you have this?
Did you get the DOT letter?
There were two, Jim.
Maybe I misplaced it, but this was back in February.
Okay.
I do remember getting business about the shoulder pavement and reference to the NYSDOT.
Yeah, no, they got the traffic comments back much quicker. It's been, well, without getting too deep in the weeds on it, it's not been good over at DOT. I know them well. I've done a lot of projects. I've been with, you know, GPI now for closing on 3 years. I was with Bowler Engineering for 6 years. And this was my client at Bowler Engineering, along with Dollar General, along with O'Reilly Auto Parts and Chick-fil-A, and I was doing, you know, 3 planning board meetings a week all over the state of New York for 6 years. And what I'm experiencing with DOT since the beginning of December is nothing like what I've had in any of the regions in that entire period of time, juggling, you know, 15 to 20 jobs simultaneously. It's been like hitting your head against the wall.
It's all that great economic development.
Well, actually, what they said, the biggest issue for them is they are doing the permitting and planning for the Energy Expressway. Is that what they're calling that? And that's a lot of takings work, a lot of permitting, a lot of right-of-way work wherever it crosses the state road. So they're doing that all, and that's all hands for them. Everyone is doing permits for that project at the same time that they've had, you know, in the Aldi region, 3 retirements and 1 person moved out of the permit office. And the permit coordinator just started in November. So It's a mess right now. I hate being married to that operation to get this thing moving, but it's, you know, it's what it is. They offered me a job. I said, no, thank you.
So do you think you'll be prepared for April in the next meeting?
I'm going to do whatever I can do, Mr. Tenson.
Would you like to be on the agenda?
I absolutely would like to be.
Okay. Board, any further questions this afternoon?
Okay, so we consider this tabled until April?
Yes.
It's what it is.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned something earlier in the evening that your applicant was kind of antsy to want to be able to order stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, I guess the question I have is, would a polling of the board give them what they need?
I'm not going to hold anyone to an informal. I don't even want to ask you to do that.
Okay.
I know how these corporations work. Like, I couldn't get payment for the application fee without a written statement requesting the payment for the application fee. Okay. I can't, you know, I literally needed Jim to write a letter asking for the escrow.
Okay. No, I just
Then it had to go to accounts payable, and then three executives had to sign off on the thing. I'm not.
So there's no winging it. So there's no sense in us giving it.
No, there isn't. And I wouldn't want to put you or myself in the position to make that sort of claim to them, because I really like Tom, but I don't know those people at Global Partners. I know that my guy, you know, and I.
Well, it makes the rest of the board happy that you said that.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm on the village board in Lansing now, but I was the planning board chair for six years there, and the zoning board chair for four there, and we don't have a nice building. You know, I was playing by the seat of my pants with no legal counsel, trying to avoid getting sued all the time. I absolutely appreciate the position you're in, and I'm not asking for anything that jeopardizes the project or the board now. So. No, I don't. I mean, I'll send it. I don't know if Jim got that. I'll send it. But for your consideration, it wasn't.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we exhausted our agenda for this.
Yes.
I make a motion that we adjourn for the evening.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second. All those. Mr. Bergman, second. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes.
Aye.
Abstained. Motion carried.
You're opposed, Jerry, or is that the internet delays?
Okay.
Let's make sure we send a copy of this tonight, too.
Bye.
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 Hi, Derek.
It's the pace, gentlemen. This has been, you know, I'm working on a 150-acre project that's been in process for 13 years, and that's what's the bulk of my time now, and I have one small project going. It's just school. The pace is different.
Carla will be writing us to request a time to sit with you and go over a couple things, not least of which is the subdivision there.
No, the one over on Bluebird and Fort Everett.
The one where people have taken it upon themselves to adjust stormwater.
It popped in there.